This is Central Time. In President Biden's address before Congress earlier this week, he laid out a long list of priorities, including subsidizing child care and providing free community college. But how will he pay for it all? Biden says part of the money will come from cracking down on corporations and wealthier Americans who have been avoiding paying their taxes. Here's Biden speaking on Wednesday.
A lot of companies also evade taxes through tax havens in Switzerland and Bermuda and the Cayman Islands. And they benefit from tax loopholes and deductions for offshoring jobs and shifting profits overseas. It's not right. We're going to reform corporate taxes so they pay their fair share and help pay for the public investments their businesses will benefit from as well.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the IRS go after big businesses and wealthier Americans who avoid taxes? Do you have questions about how tax avoidance works? Are you worried about the idea of increasing the budget at the IRS? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jesse Drucker is an investigative reporter at the New York Times. Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've been following these issues for quite a while now, Jesse, and I want to start with an example that you looked closely at of how large corporations can avoid taxes. Bristol-Myers Squibb, can you give us just some of their story as an example?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, Bristol-Myers, you know, the big drug company, had a situation back in 2012 where they figured out a way to essentially import deductions they were generating from some of their offshore operations in Ireland to help them avoid paying U.S. federal income taxes. And the IRS got wind of this plan, which involved a very kind of convoluted partnership set up offshore, and said that it pretty clearly violated an anti-abuse statute that had been in the law for several years. And so this is kind of one of, you know, many sort of offshore games that big companies like Google, Apple, Pfizer, take your pick, have been playing for years to avoid hundreds of billions of dollars in income taxes. And, you know, the Biden administration is proposing a plan to try to put an end to that.
Yeah. So the Biden administration wants to put more money into the IRS to do this kind of enforcement. Can you talk about what the state of affairs is at the IRS? Are they really stretched thin to where it's hard to go after these complicated tax avoidance plans?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Biden plan has kind of a few different prongs. One is to actually look at changes to existing law. And then the other is to beef up enforcement at the IRS so that they can enforce the law. And the IRS has really been gutted. I mean, you know, kind of periodically, in some ways, it began in the Clinton administration, kind of bounced back a little bit in Bush 2, then kind of the decline starts again with Obama. But I mean, just to kind of give you one example, you know, 8 years ago, the IRS performed 40,000 audits of millionaires. Last year, they performed 11,000 audits, right? So that's, I mean, just kind of doing the math in my head, that's roughly a 75% reduction in the number of audits they're doing of millionaires. And part of the reason for that is the IRS has almost half as many auditors as it did 10 years ago. So, you know, the agency is kind of the kind of trend over the years has basically been to gut its enforcement mechanism. And so what they're seeking to do is basically get the budget of the IRS back to where it was about a decade ago and then a little bit more. But, you know, it's largely to kind of recover all the funding that's been lost to that agency over the year.
Is there a sense of how much money isn't going to the federal government that is technically supposed to be?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's kind of an official gap known as it's what's called the tax gap. It's the spread between kind of what actually was probably owed and what went uncollected. And that was about $380 billion per year. But, you know, the IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig recently told Congress that he thought it was actually could be as high as $1 trillion a year. So there's kind of that gap. But then you also have to keep in mind that the Biden administration is actually talking about changing a lot of the laws to gather even more revenue. So, you know, they're proposing pretty far reaching changes, not just in kind of the IRS's ability to enforce the law, but also changing the laws themselves.
Yeah. Could you talk about what some of the law changes themselves would be apart from the enforcement?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, please feel free to stop me because obviously there's many proposals. I mean, one that would affect like the Bristol-Myers situation is they're proposing a minimum tax that big companies would pay offshore so that the days of being able to move money into the Cayman Islands or Switzerland and have rates of 2 or 3% on your profits offshore would go up to the current proposal they have is 21%. So that would be a very big change. Another change for individuals that they're proposing having the capital gains rate go up. That's the rate that people pay on, you know, if you sell a share in Apple or sell your home, that for very wealthy people, that rate, instead of being deeply discounted the way it is now, it's currently a 20% rate. For some people, a little higher, but for 20% would be taxed just like regular old income. So like very high earners, instead of paying 20% on the sale of their shares in public companies, for instance, instead of paying 20%, would pay as high as close to 40%.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Gianni in Marquette County is with us. Gianni, hello.
Yes, good afternoon. I support some of what President Biden wants to do across the board. I think it's long overdue. The tax cheats need to be investigated by the IRS. But my question is, when are we going to see the rollback of this insane tax cut done by the Trump administration? Are we going to see that this year or next year? But you can't keep spending unless there is money coming into the coffers. You can't keep printing it. So when are we going to see these reforms take place?
Johnny, thanks for the call. With what you were talking about last there, the tax cuts under President Trump, I think from 2017, Jesse, is that something people are talking about rolling back? Well, I know there's talk of at least bringing up the corporate tax rate somewhat from the level set in 2017.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a funny question, right? Because there's a way in which, so the kind of short answer is they're not seeking to fully undo those cuts. That's what's kind of funny about this, right? Like the corporate tax rate before 2017 was 35%. The Republicans cut it to 21%. And the Biden administration is proposing to raise it so it kind of splits the difference to 28%. So, you know, the bottom line there is that the corporate rate would still be significantly lower than it was just a few years ago. But I think some of the other things they're talking about are far more wide-reaching changes that would kind of more than offset the fact that some of the rollbacks of the Trump tax cuts are a bit moderate, if that makes sense. In other words, they're seeking to undo some of the Trump tax cuts to some degree, but then they're proposing to do a lot of other things that were not even affected during the Trump years.
Thanks for the call, Gianni. We're talking to Jesse Drucker, a reporter at the New York Times. He's with us today to talk about President Biden's plans to crack down on corporations and wealthy Americans who avoid paying taxes and his efforts to change the tax codes in general so that some of those wealthier corporations would be on the hook for more money. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of what you've heard from the Biden administration on taxes for corporations and wealthier Americans? How about some more funding for the IRS to enforce existing tax laws? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the Biden administration's efforts to go after high earners and big businesses who avoid taxes and other changes proposed in the tax code. Jesse Drucker is with us from New York Times, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. And Jesse, something you were talking about just a few moments ago, you know, we could talk about raising or lowering corporate tax rates. A lot of people point out that percentage, whatever it might be, doesn't reflect the actual tax rate paid by corporations. How different can those be?
And how different can what companies actually pay from
exactly
what? Oh, well, they can be quite different. I mean, I think, you know, over the years, it would be quite common for big multinationals to pay taxes at a rate of half of the 35% rate. So, but, you know, that's part of the reason that what the Biden folks are proposing to do is to not just raise the rate, but also to provide basically for a minimum tax. Because the most common way that big tech companies and big drug companies, for instance, avoid paying U.S. federal income taxes is to push profits offshore into places like Bermuda and the Cayman Islands and Switzerland, et cetera. And then kind of once you get it there, it's very easy to pay taxes at the low single digit rates. And so the theory is that they want to change the law so that even if they do push it offshore, they're still going to pay a pretty significant amount. So in theory, there will always be a gap between our corporate rate and kind of what they actually pay. But the theory is that the gap would be much smaller.
I've heard some about efforts to work with other countries and get kind of a global agreement to say, hey, we're going to try to make it so that companies can't so easily avoid taxes here by crossing in one way or another the border over there. That sounds really complicated to me. Is that something that you see maybe happening?
Yeah, so I mean, that's really interesting. And that's actually a process that's been going on now for a little over 8 years. There's an organization called the OECD, which is basically like a group of, among others, tax regulators from countries around the world, including the US. And beginning in early 2013, they kind of got together because these countries were basically sick of big US multinationals coming into their markets and not paying any income taxes. And so they've been pushing for a variety of changes. And now, at least sort of conceptually, the Biden administration seems to be kind of signed on. What's sort of interesting about that is that that process overseas began when the Obama folks were still in power. And the Obama administration was not great on that issue. You know, they were, I wouldn't say necessarily explicitly resisting those efforts, but they sort of dragged their feet. And so it's a very big change in the Biden Treasury Department compared to the Obama Treasury Department on this issue.
Pretty much everything we've talked about so far, Jesse, coming from the Biden administration would have to go through Congress, and who knows what happens when something arrives in Congress. But are there things that the administration can do with this kind of enforcement? I don't know, changing priorities at the IRS or something like that, where they can tackle some of these issues without Congress signing off?
I think the short answer is no, right? I mean, there are plenty of things in the tax policy world that the Treasury Department can do unilaterally without Congress. That's definitely true. The Biden folks could do a lot of important things unilaterally without congressional approval. But in terms of the bottom line, which is the ability of the IRS to police the system without a significant increase in budget and manpower, it's just sort of not feasible. I mean, the numbers are so extreme, right? I mean, we have literally half as many IRS revenue agents as we did 10 years ago, you know, and you look at the expansion of the economy in that period, you know, if you were to somehow control for that, it's even more extreme. So, I mean, I would say that currently that's kind of impossible. You can change policy, but it's pretty hard to understand how you could enforce the law without getting approval from Congress to increase funding at the agency.
We'll leave it there. Jesse, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That's Jesse Drucker, investigative reporter at the New York Times. He was with us today to talk about President Biden's plans to crack down on high earners and big corporations that avoid taxes and to change the tax code on those corporations and wealthier Americans. As you heard, a lot of it hangs on what Congress does with it. Coming up after the news, the weather is getting nicer. People are getting vaccinated against COVID-19. It could be time to have some fun in the near future. We'll talk about how to enjoy what Wisconsin has to offer, plus a look at the status of some popular events and festivals. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last year, it seemed like pretty much all festivals and events around the state were canceled because of the pandemic. Now that people are getting vaccinated, the hope is that this spring and summer will be a little bit more eventful. Organizers announced this week that the Wisconsin State Fair is on for August 5th through 15th. What it's ultimately going to look like is still a mystery. Mask requirements, vaccine receipts, and rapid testing have reportedly been discussed. Some events have been called off, including the Cedarburg Strawberry Festival, Celebrate De Pere, and the Wausau Balloon and Rib Fest. Others have been pushed back, like Summerfest, which now aims to happen in September. But even if big events aren't your thing, there's still lots of ways to safely enjoy spring and summer in Wisconsin. Gary Knowles is a Madison-based travel writer and president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's also the author of the Great Wisconsin Touring Book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. Gary, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, it's great to be back, Robin. You know what? It's great to see summer coming back, too, and coming back with these events. I heard your list of things that are not happening, but you know what? Last year, it was pretty much everything was
right.
And right now, it's good to see stuff is happening again, isn't it?
Now, we haven't talked to you, Gary, since last June. Did you have any trouble finding fun stuff to do last year with so many things shut down? You, of all people, I think you're finding fun stuff around Wisconsin no matter what's going on.
Well, I found plenty of things to do, taking my convertible out, driving the back roads, doing things where I could put the top down and not even need to wear a mask, honestly, and drive around the state. And now that I'm vaxxed plus two and all safe to go, I'm looking forward to a big summer. And there was a lot of stuff to do, a lot of it outdoorsy kind of things and visiting the parks and things like that. And, of course, hanging out with socially distanced masked friends occasionally. But, yeah, this year we got a lot more to do.
One thing I did, and I think a lot of people did this, Gary, was find some things off the beaten path. So I found parks I didn't know existed or drove by probably a zillion times or never stopped at. Has this been a good lesson in finding maybe some of those hidden gems, maybe even in our own backyards?
I really think it has, Rob. I think the thing that a lot of people did was they went out like you did, probably not real far from home, and found some parks that they hadn't explored fully before. And there's some really good ones out there. And one of the things I was going to mention that just recently, it just opened, although it's been there all the while. There's this bike route that goes from the Great Lake to the Great River. And it's called the U.S. Bike Route System, Route 30. And it actually goes 269 miles from Milwaukee over at the ferry dock. It goes up, actually goes to another ferry, goes all the way up to Merrimack and takes that ferry when the ferry is running up there, and then heads way over to La Crosse to a bluff over there, and 269 miles.
Wow.
Of mostly state park trails, about 160 miles of state park trails, and about 139 of connecting routes on, for the most part, city, local, and other highways that are all part of the recommended route. But it's great. You can go from the Great Lake to the Great River now.
That's fantastic. I was on the Merrimack Ferry a couple weekends back in my car, though, to be honest. And, hey, let's talk about great drives. You say you've been out a lot. What are a couple of your favorite drives this time of year, Gary?
Well, I always like the drive over on the Lake Michigan shore. If you start in Sheboygan, catch County Highway LS, as in Larry Sam, and head north on it. It follows the lake shore all the way past Whistling Straits, which, of course, is going to be holding the Ryder Cup in September this year, and that international golf event. But it goes all the way up past Whistling Straits at Haven, kind of up through Cleveland, and all the way up to Manitowoc and Two Rivers, which, of course, is a beautiful area. But it follows the lakeshore over there, and a lot of people, of course, are zipping up on the interstate and really miss some of the real beauty of Wisconsin, kind of a rural and maritime beauty that you find over on the lake over there. So that's one of my favorites. Another favorite drive that I have is Door County. And, I mean, I know that everybody says, oh, Door County, and they, you know, they think they know Door County. You really need to get up there and do the Door County Scenic Byway, which really runs right up the highway up on 42 and 57. It goes right up the spine and follows some of the really great lakeshore up along Door County and from Sturgeon Bay on up to Gill's Rock and then comes back down again. But the thing I wanted to tell people today, Rob, is that there is a great new guide to Door County. It's put out by the Door County Chamber, of course, and but it's free, and it's probably, I've got to say, it's probably one of the best guides I've ever seen to Door County, and it's free. All you have to do is call and ask them for it, 800-527-3529, and it's 800-527-3529. Or you go to doorcounty.com and you can find a link on there where you can order it online. But it's a huge guide, and I've seen a lot of a lot of guidebooks that you're going to pay $5 or $10 for, and this one is free, And it probably has as much information and maps and contacts and things to do as anything I've ever seen. So I highly recommend getting that free book and getting that. And Door County, I've got to say, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Door County, I know about that. You know, Door County is one of those places, if you don't find something new every time you go up there, you're not trying, because it is, it's a great place. Great lakes, great roads, great people. And they had a really good year last year, even though they started out like a lot of people did and encouraged people to really stay home early in the pandemic. But, you know, people went up there anyway and really did a good job of social distancing. And it's a great place to go hang out.
Talking to Gary Knowles, Wisconsin travel writer, getting some advice on stuff we can get out and do this year as spring moves along and into summer. And Gary, I mentioned earlier a few of the big name events, the Summerfest and state fairs. For people looking for smaller stuff, are there things still going on this year, things you're looking forward to that that are going to happen that haven't been canceled? In the, you know, those smaller local things that I know you love.
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, there's one going on this weekend. That's a really fun thing to do. And it's Lake Geneva Restaurant Week. For people that have been to Lake Geneva recently, you know that there's really quite a good dining scene down there. And their restaurant week is going through this weekend. So you've got today, tomorrow, and Sunday wraps up. But they've got all the specials down there. They have the fixed price dinners and lunches for $10 and $15. But you can really try out some really neat things. And I'd recommend considering going to Lake Geneva this weekend and just trying some of the great cuisine down there. They've done a pretty good job of putting that together. And then also going on, actually opening this weekend at the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts, which is over in Cedarburg. They're celebrating a 20-year anniversary of their start over there. They actually got started with a display of quilts that was called Stories and Stitches, and they're having kind of a rephrase of that project, and they've got an exhibit of a bunch of the quilts that were originally shown, and it is really neat looking, and each of the quilts kind of tells a story, so you can go over to the museum and catch that exhibit. It runs through August 29th. So if you don't make it this weekend, you have a little time yet, but that'll be going on as well. And, you know, other things that will be happening. The good thing was I was really happy to see that Road America Racetrack is going to be open for a full slate of things going on. And one of the highlights of every summer that they're going to be doing again this year is the WeatherTech International Challenge Vintage Races, which are out at the track and brings out some incredible cars. But the thing that a lot of people really love there is that on Friday night and Saturday night, the cars have a special parade from the track. It's about 3 miles into Elkhart Lake, where they come and they take over the street down there. And there's a street display, a Concours d'Elegance. And it is really one of the most fun things you're going to do all summer. It's on Friday night and Saturday night. That'll be July 16th and 17th, I believe the dates are. The whole weekend of the events are the 15th to the 18th. But the 16th and 17th, each night on the streets of Elkhart Lake, they have this great car display, and it's free. And people come and hang out there. And it really feels like a touch of Europe, Rob. And you got to get up and see that one of these years.
And we've hit the roads and trails and restaurants, Gary. How about the water? Where are you pointing people toward to get next to or actually out on the water this time of year?
I think you had one of the great tips there early on there. And I'd say go ride the free Merrimack Ferry.
Oh, yeah.
Ride it over and ride it back and ride it over and ride it back. I know they don't really encourage doing that too much, but it really is fun. And of course, there's ice cream. Or, well, I think the ice cream stand was the ice cream stand open.
They weren't open yet when I was there. No.
Oh, okay, but yeah, if they're open, you definitely want to grab an ice cream cone there. But there are other great rides on the water as well. There's ferry service from the tip of Door County, from up there at just a Newport over to Washington Island, and you can take that trip over to Washington Island, and that's always a lot of fun. And then the one that I really enjoy every year, and I'm going to be up there in July, is going to go up to Bayfield and catch the Madeline Island ferry from Bayfield over to Madeline Island. And I'm glad to hear, I was talking to people on Madeline Island the other day, and they said that it looks like it's going to be a wonderful summer out there, that a lot of people came to visit last year. Again, it kind of after the peak of the concern there in the middle of the summer, and they had a great year. And they say this year, it looks like it's filling up pretty quickly, and it'll be another good summer to go over to Madeline Island and catch some of the fun at the Historical Museum over there, go to the Yacht Club, check that out, maybe go out to Big Bay Park. And if you want to get some great fresh air, they have a great hike down there that goes along the boardwalk that kind of runs parallel but interior to the lakeshore, and a great walk along the bluff. So some real fun on Madeline Island.
Well, Gary, we'll leave it there for now. I'm sure we'll check in with you again. Happy travels this summer.
For sure, and same to you. Hit the trail, and happy trails to you.
Gary Knowles is a Madison-based travel writer, president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's the author of the great Wisconsin touring book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. We talked to him about some of the fun things to see and do in Wisconsin this spring and summer.